Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 5th of July. I'm Paul White. Today, we conclude the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we will then head into chapter 13. Probably won't start the 13th turn today, but definitely by tomorrow. And probably we'll be out of the 13th chapter before the week is out. It's only 14 verses long. We do have a few things I want to stop and emphasize, but there's some sort of straightforward, especially middle of the chapter on, as Paul sort of does his greetings and benedictions and his goodbyes. To close that 12th chapter, I want to go ahead and read 18 to 21. That's four verses, but I want to just read them straight through, and then we'll come back and do a little work. I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Now, as we go back and work our way through, just again keeping the broad context in mind, Paul's not only been defending his apostolic authority and the gift that he has, Paul's been trying to confirm to the Corinthian church the love that he has for them, the concern that he has for them, and the same with those he sent ahead, namely Titus. Titus didn't take advantage of you, did he? Titus walked the same way I did. Titus walked in the same steps that I walk in. And we're not trying to make any excuses of ourselves to you. We're talking from the place of Christ, and I hope you know we do it to build you up. I hope you know we do it to edify you. And then a very interesting 20th and 21st verse, and it gives us an opportunity today to slow down and take a look at the parental aspect of Paul's ministry in regards to the Corinthian people. He says, I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you the way I wish, but I be found by you such as you don't wish. that's an interesting phrase. I fear, think about it this way. I'm afraid that God's going to have to humble me in front of you, and I'm going to have to mourn over the people who have done these things like contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whispering, conceit, tumult. I don't want to have to deal with it, but I'm afraid I'll have to. I'm afraid I'll have to mourn over those who have sinned and not changed their ways. This is a parent. This is a fatherly tie that Paul has with the Corinthian church, so strong that he knows that if he comes back to them and finds them, remember, he called them his children in verse 14, same as 1 Corinthians 4. If he comes back and finds some of his children still living contentious and jealous and angry with selfish ambition and backbiting and whispering, conceit and tumult, he'll be humiliated. He'll be humiliated for them, and he'll be humiliated by them, because just as we would if we walked in and saw our kids living this way, we would think, oh my goodness, they've learned nothing. I've done a terrible job as a parent. I haven't taught them not to be this way. And look at how they're acting. And they're not changing their mind. See, Paul has pointed out more than once that false apostles are a problem in the Corinthian church. But Paul's also now closing the letter by pointing out not only are false apostles a problem in the Corinthian church, people not turning away from the junk that they've been saved out of is a problem in the Corinthian church. They've sinned before and have not repented of their uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Listen, Paul doesn't say you're not forgiven. Paul doesn't say, oh, they're doing this stuff and God won't forgive them, and they're walking in unforgiveness and therefore they're going to lose their salvation. No, Paul doesn't claim that they're not sons of God. Paul doesn't claim they're not believers. Paul claims that they need to repent. What's repent? Change your mind and your direction. Change your mindset. Have a complete turnaround. So listen, he's saying to them, some of you, when I get there, I'm afraid this is going to happen. When I get there, I'm going to be embarrassed that some of my kids are they're walking in uncleanness and fornication and lewdness. And it's the same way that a parent never disowns their child. But a parent can look at what their child is doing and think, that's humiliating. Why are they acting this way? And the parent's almost always going to blame themselves at some point and go, what did I do wrong that my son would act like this? What did I do wrong that my daughter would act like this? And that doesn't mean that they've disowned them. It doesn't mean that they're not their parent. Good parenting is not looking at bad behavior and saying, oh, I don't even see your behavior. You're just an angel to me. That's not good parenting. I don't mean you slap them and mock them. But there does come a time when we're dealing with our own kids where we see junk that we know is outside of their family DNA. It's outside of how they were raised. It's outside of their inheritance, and it's outside of their identity. And sometimes it has to be pointed out to them to say, none of this is like you. None of this is you. It kind of leads into the thing I've been working on. Actually, this is going to air next weekend. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it's a sermon I'm preaching this next weekend recording. It's going to be titled something along the lines of why condemnation and feeling bad are not always the same thing. Because we've done a good job in the grace community of releasing people from condemnation. Maybe we haven't done the job we need to, but we're on our way. And I say we collectively, as men and women who minister no condemnation. But I don't think very many of us, myself included, biggest duck in the pond, have done a very good job of emphasizing that condemnation is not your emotional state. So just because you feel bad about something, that doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you're under condemnation. Sometimes you should look at your life and be ashamed of some of the junk you've done. At least ashamed enough that you repent. Because maybe you're in uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness. These aren't unbelievers at the end of chapter 12. These are believers. And you go, man, I'm not representing my father. Now, your father's not condemning you. So your father's not counting you guilty. That's condemnation. But your father also lets that godly sorrow lead to repentance. Remember what Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, that godly sorrow, back in chapter 7, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. You were made sorry in a godly manner, so that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to a salvation not to be regretted. I'm coming back to that because Paul comes back to it. This is what he's done. He's doing what he's doing right here in chapter 12. He's coming back to that thought from chapter 7, is to say, I hope that you know who you are. But if you're living beneath who you are, I hope you at least feel sorry enough about it, you repent of that foolishness, and you start to walk out who you are. That's not condemnation. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom we need a little more of. If we had that wisdom, that keeps us from defending laziness and foolishness under the blanket guise of I'm not condemned, so I'm not even going to deal with that. Because we do have a little bit of that whole, hey, if it makes you feel bad, don't deal with it, because that's of the devil. Good news never make you feel bad. And part of that is that we've confused what good news means, and part of that is that we've confused emotions with condemnation. So I'm working on that. I'm going to preach and record that this week. That'll be up this weekend. There's some good stuff to come. We're going to get going tomorrow on chapter 13. See you then. God bless.